After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, guys, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly on to you. I haven't skipped a beat using Mint Mobile services. I have a great service even when I'm traveling for over less than 70% of what I was paying before. Listen to Uncle Chael and say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Chael. That's mintmobile.com/Chael. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Chael. $45 upfront payment required. That's equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. The UFC was off this weekend, but man, we still had a lot going on in the combat sports world, and I'm going to get to all of that on today's episode. I'm going to talk about the back and forth between Ilya Topuria and Max Holloway, and what I make of all of it. Plus, Michael Chandler says that his fight with Conor McGregor isn't officially signed yet. Why did he say that? I'm going to get to that, folks, but let's begin by talking about the fight that everyone's eyes were on this weekend. Ryan Garcia took out Devin Haney. What do you make of that? I mean, what do you do with that? Like, if you were a naysayer before this fight that was very bullish on the idea, and there was two schools of thought, by the way, and you know what? That doesn't mean there was only two schools. Like, here was the narrative. Either Ryan Garcia was trolling. He was marketing. He was working. He was building media to bring attention. Or he had lost his mind. Now, I got to tell you, like, a lot of times, a lot of arguments, a lot of discussions, there's only two ways to go. I only submit for you right now, there's a lot more options than either he was a marketing master or he had lost his mind. There's lots of other options, but if we're to operate on those two, which is where we were per the media before the fight started, the commission should stop the fight. The commission should not allow this to go on. And there's other people that came forward that said, if you genuinely believe that there is a mental issue going on with Ryan Garcia, that you should not watch the fight. You should not support that in any way. You should also be very careful about teasing him or pointing something out, because you would not tease or point something out for somebody that had a disability. So it was one of these spots, and that argument was used just to get people to stop saying it, to make them really look in the mirror and really wonder, do you mean that? Do you truly mean that you believe he's at a deficit and that the government should step in and stop him from earning a living? Because if you truly mean that, then you will not be watching the fight. And all of a sudden, the weigh-ins come. He's overweight. All of a sudden, the ceremonial weigh-ins come, and he's drinking a beer on the scale. He's going to social media. He's keeping it going. When the fight ends and after he was absolutely dominant and won, it now all of a sudden put people in a very tough position. All of a sudden, the questioning of the commission, now you lose your card for the rest of time to ever question the commission. But what do you do with Ryan Garcia? Do you now say, okay, he was trolling, right? Those are the true schools of thought. That he could not be on drugs, he could not be losing his mind, he could not be drinking like he says and still have victory. And then he goes out, has an absolute dominant victory. Do you start to see where those two belief systems are no longer true? You start to see, well, there is room for a third theory, a fourth and a fifth theory. I don't feel that we have enough evidence right now to know where it lands. Like, Ryan has come out and told everybody after the fact that he was high every day and drunk every night during training camp. He's come out and said that. I don't think that we have reason to not believe him. But what do you do with that? Right? I mean, what do you do with that? I could only speculate. But my speculation, boy, it's a slippery slope. When somebody has a level of success by having behaviors that are not typically aligned with a person, particularly in this case, an athlete, that is successful, it's very hard to get them off that track, right? It's just, it's almost a gateway and leads to saying, yes, see, I had it right. I can do this, and therefore I can do more. And we've only had a couple people in this position throughout my lifetime where it worked, where you could do both. Ryan Garcia would go into that category. Now, a number of guys do it, by the way, but they don't talk about it publicly. So we don't actually know that there's only a couple. I was going to say Ryan Garcia, and there was a basketball player named Dennis Rodman. I was just going to compare those two because they were very open, and they use that as part of their media. They use that as part of their marketing. Now, the reality is you would have a lot more folks that are doing it, and they just keep it quiet and hide it. I understand that. But where would you go with Ryan Garcia? Where would you go with that? There's also a rumor, Boxing Kingdom put this out. Now, I got to credit Boxing Kingdom because they are the most gullible media source in boxing that has a large base. They got over 100,000 followers on Twitter, by the way. But they are completely gullible, and they know that. Like, they won't use their own name. They won't even use their own face. But they still got a lot of following, and they are claiming that Garcia bet $2 million on himself to win, and that he cashed a ticket today for $12 million. Now, I don't believe either of those to be true, but that doesn't mean there isn't some truth behind it. That doesn't mean that he didn't bet on himself. That didn't mean he wasn't confident. There wasn't a ticket to some degree. Because you run into the question of how you're going to get him off this train. And you also run into an issue of, well, what if it was marketing? And then you run into the issue of, well, what if it was both? And then you run into the final analysis, which is, it's none of your business. There's the answer. And it's not a nice one, by the way. I mean, I like it when our heroes can be athletes, and I like it when those athletes can be role models. I like that. I get it. I carry with me a level of sportsmanship that you win in Little League, or that you get instilled in you in Little League, over to the pros, whatever arena you might be in. I do understand that. But if you're asking the government to step in and stop an athlete who is doing legal behavior, you might not like the drinking, but he's not drinking and driving. You might not like the drinking, but he's over 21. I'll just remind you of, is you have a legal behavior being done by an adult. And you are left to wonder, where is the act? I mean, for example, we come out, we hear that he smokes dope. I've never seen him smoke dope. We're told that he drank a beer on the scale in front of the commission at the ceremonial weigh-ins the day prior to the fight. But I don't know what was actually in that bottle. I watched a clip of him today on a private jet allegedly headed to Miami with his Klingerons, right? And everybody's got him in the group. And he's holding the whiskey the whole time. He's got his shirt off. He's making a promo. But I never saw him drink the whiskey. I'm just sharing for you. I don't know where I fall and or believe. Do I believe that Ryan Garcia was high every day and drunk every night with his father there running his camp? Okay. Or do I believe that Devin Haney gets up every single morning at 4:30, as he claims, works out up to 5 times a day, runs 8 miles every single day? Neither one of those stories is believable. So you ask me which one is more believable, that Devin Haney runs 8 miles a day while doing 5 sessions, which simply does not happen, or that Ryan Garcia is high and drunk in the presence of his father as his trainer? Like, interesting. It's an interesting spot. Maybe Ryan's the only honest athlete out there. Maybe he's the only one that tells the truth, or at least he tells a version that is closer to the truth than Mr. 4:30, 8 mile, 5 workouts. Which, that I can guarantee you, does not happen. So which one do you want to believe? Who's the liar in the room? Who's the honest guy in the room? Who told you the truth? Who got the win? You can try to decide. You can do your detective work. You can submit your evidence. Or you can realize that you're the audience member. They're the principals. And if you choose to, sit back and enjoy the show. Michael Chandler says he would not be surprised if his fight with Conor McGregor gets announced for the 165-pound championship. And Chandler, within that same statement, said that a bout agreement is not yet signed. So, what do you make of that? The bout agreement isn't signed. Is that the bigger part, or is it a 65-pound title? And the 65-pound title is a very tough one for me. I mean, first, I'm just playing along. When I'm playing as though they're considering putting up the belt. There is no topic there. They are not considering putting up the belt, just so you know. But to play along, okay, the bout agreement's not signed. I got to go back to that. 65-pound belt, I got to go back to that. The biggest question on this fight is what weight are they doing it at? And the only reason that's the biggest question, as opposed to when are they doing the fight, is what weight are they doing it precedes when are they going to do it. It was the first question asked. I remember where I was. It was one of those weird times. I happened to be in my car driving in California with my partner Ryan to valet parking to watch Fedor's retirement fight. I remember it perfectly clear. And there was a media member that was good enough to get a hold of Dana and get a hold of Chandler. But he did not tell Dana that he got a hold of Chandler. He did not tell Chandler that he got a hold of Dana. So that media member came out and said, Chandler said, oh, and Connor. He got a hold of all three. And all three give him a different number. I just happen to remember where I was when that happened. Go, oh, wait a minute. He asked three people involved with the fight what the weight is. You got three different answers. So I only share that with you to tell you why I'm saying that that has been the preceding question. And in this latest, of course, people asked when this fight was announced, what weight will it be at? 170 was the answer. So a discussion of it being at 165, you see where that would be yesterday's news and simply not happening. But when you get armed with the fact that this thing isn't signed anyway, it starts to open that door. Now, do you need it? I mean, do you, the audience, you, the fan, do you need this to be about something? And that is what the belt would represent. Like, in my opinion, it would not greatly, and that'd be exciting for me. I love opportunity. I love when a belt comes out. I would not be against that notion. Now, again, I'm not hedging. There is zero chance of this happening for a plethora of reasons. I'm speaking to the idea that we live with right now. Like, here would be an example. The athletes would really like a 165-pound title. That would be great. Any athlete would like any championship opportunity, any time that they could get it. So if you had not yet agreed to the fight, all of a sudden you're behind the scenes. Nobody ever's going to find out. You start putting your foot down. I'll only do this if there is a discussion that would take place for that belt. But once a fight is announced and it's agreed on, there now is no room for negotiating. And therefore, the title would not be going up. And that title would create a lot of problems. All right, if you have a champion anywhere and you don't have a belief that he is going to defend it on a regular schedule, you have a massive problem. But where it would be interesting, 165, is to see over time who went there. What 70-pounders are going to come down? Islam himself, would he stay at 55? What 55-pounders are going to come up, including champions? That part would be fascinating to me. When Monday Night Raw and SmackDown went and had the draft and who's going to go where, that was interesting to me for whatever reason. But my bigger takeaway is not a discussion over 65-pound title that is not going to happen. My bigger takeaway is that a bout agreement's not signed. And is that just an issue that it hasn't been put in the fax machine yet? Or is it an issue it has been, it's been agreed in principle, and it just hasn't been stuck in the mailbox to be returned yet? Don't think you have to correct me about the Postal Service and the fax machines. You understand the point I'm trying to make. There was a lot of hesitation and there's a lot of reservation for everybody involved to do anything or to co-sign or agree or make an announcement on anything regarding that fight until everything was signed. Now, on the other hand, it's not a good way to do business. I mean, when you're doing business, you need to be able, whether it's a text, a phone call, a handshake, a nod, whatever it is, if you get a yes from this guy, that is now done. If you get a yes from two guys, that's done. I should be able to come out and tell the world and then count on everything being done behind the scenes. And if that is exactly what happened here and there is no bad agreement, that's a big compliment to the way Connor does business and the way Chandler does business. That's a compliment. If the organization is able to count on their word and come out and present something to all of you, particularly to the magnitude of this fight and the magnitude of International Fight Weekend. But it is in many ways a fascinating topic of 165 pounds. Do we know that Connor can make 65? I mean, for the first time ever, Connor making 170 is going to be a struggle. The first time Connor went to 170, just to remind you, was against Nate Diaz. And it was short notice, and Connor had breakfast before he showed up, and he showed up with some clothes on, and he was still 168. Or the time that Connor fought Cowboy Cerrone on very short notice, it was the exact same scenario, and there was no weight pulled off, and he was under the limit. And this time, based on the pictures we've seen, he's going to have to give that a look, give that a lifestyle change, give that some real focus and some real dedication. Could even get down to 165. Like, not for nothing, but those are the more interesting elements to this. Now, again, I'm playing here. I'm playing along. There is no 65-pound title. There is no title anywhere where both contestants are going to be coming off of losses. But as you're starting to think or wonder if you need a title, then you're admitting that you see the problem, that the fight is about nothing. It's not about a ranking. It's not about a championship. It's not even a personal grudge. And to fill that void and to find out what that fight is about is important. But in my opinion, the fight is a big question. Can Connor return? Is Connor able to overcome the injury that he had, the layoff that he had, the distractions that he's had, the temptation and the lifestyle that we're told that he is leading? Can he overcome all of that? Do the work necessary ahead of time to be at a level of fitness to do the hardest thing, hardest sport known to man, at least that I've ever personally seen, and to do it for up to 25 minutes? I think that's a great question. It's a very fair question. I think it's an intriguing question. I also think, as far as it pertains to this fight, that right there, what I just said, is what you should go with, because that is the only legitimate question we have. and Conor McGregor. We're seeing some similarities there. I have a little bit of concern as it pertains to Conor. And I gotta disclose to you, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Conor McGregor. It doesn't mean I'm cheering for him in this fight. By the way, I mean, but I'm a fan. I like the things that he's got going. I like the entertainment we get from him. I think that he has given as much to this sport as he has attempted to take from it. There are not very many guys that can say that. There's guys that would like to say it. There's guys that would love, they would give back. They're willing. Their heart's in the right place. They just couldn't captivate. They couldn't motivate. They couldn't inspire the way Conor did. This fight that Conor's got with Chandler is about one thing. Can Conor come back? Yes or no? And I don't think you'll ever be able to find me an example in history, and I'll let you bring boxing into it, just in combat, but in history, I do not believe you can find any example where a fighter came off an injury, went up a weight class, went the maximum amount of rounds against another fighter who is ranked higher, and had that athlete win. Now, that's a lot against you. That's four strikes against you. Even in baseball, it's three strikes. If there's any deal in life you're ever looking, you're in a car lot, you're kicking tires, seeing something. If you find a car and it has three strikes, get out of there. If it's an interesting color, it's a dually, and it's a 2x4. There's your three strikes. Walk off the lot. This is four. And when I share that with you, I don't think you can find an example anywhere in MMA, and I'll allow you to bring in boxing. I wanted to see a couple of things on this fight. Now, I like the idea of 155 pounds, and I know the human body does not get smaller over time. You guys can relate. Do you guys weigh more now than you did 5 years ago or not, right? Like, you can relate. But I like the idea of 155 because it would 155 would be a byproduct. Defeating that scale at championship weight where you were once champion would be a byproduct of a lifestyle change, of a dedication, of a commitment, of calories out versus calories in. That is going to represent a lot of training. When you move that scale and all of a sudden you don't need to burn as many calories, you don't need to train as hard, that byproduct isn't there. Going five rounds has been a very difficult thing for Conor to do. He's done it. He's in the club. He's even done it at 170 pounds. But he's barely done it. And he didn't come off of an injury. He wasn't out for a sustained period of time. So I don't bring this to let you know that the line makers over at DraftKings that have this dead even got it wrong. I don't bring it to you for that. I bring it to you because Conor has already done things that nobody else had done. Conor has already been asked tougher questions than the one I just asked, putting four strikes on him and bringing the baseball example of three. He's already had tougher propositions, and he's overcame, and he's won. He's been victorious. So the question is, does a great magician have one more under his hat? And that's what this fight is about. I think that's very meaningful. From a purely business perspective, and there's nothing that keeps the lights on. There is no word that keeps this industry moving forward that is greater than the word anticipation. If you don't anticipate, if you don't have fans that anticipate this, they're not going to buy it. You could be curious and you could even be interested. For curiosity and for interest, you could check the results on Twitter the next morning. You must have an anticipation. And there's a somewhat similar example, which is Mike Tyson. When Mike Tyson returned against Roy Jones, that wasn't his weight class. That wasn't a personal beef. That didn't have anything to do with rankings. There was no championship. It was just about, can he do it? Can he? Just can. Could a guy who's been gone this long return and physically hold up? Can he do it? Making it bell to bell, you win. Taking Roy's punches, you win. The fact that the fight went to a draw, you could have given it to Mike, you could have given it to Roy. It didn't matter. The question was, can Mike do it? Does the world belong to 18 to 25-year-olds like the media loves to tell us? Or is there room for somebody else. And that's what Mike's fight was about. And it did fantastic numbers. 1.7 million is what was reported on that. And I just share for you, when Conor comes out and he's in defense of Ryan Garcia and Ryan's lifestyle and the drinking and the attitude behind it, when he's in defense as a way of showing the world, see, we can do this, it starts to point you into the wrong direction. Now, it's all a juxtaposition against oneself. I love track and field and I love weightlifting. And you want to know why I like those? It's not about beating the guy next to you. Weightlifting is not about being the strongest guy in the room. And track and field is not about winning the race. Your opponent and your only opponent is the previous version of yourself. In track and field and in weightlifting, you will be judged off of personal records. That's it. I use it as an example. Because if Conor was getting sauced up when he was at 145 pounds, went on his run, became a main event, stopped Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. If he was getting sauced up then, and he's getting sauced up now, great. He wins. He wins the debate of can you do both? He would win. If he wasn't. If he was hunkered down, he was buckled down, he was fully focused on training, he was working to get off the dole, he was working to change his family lives, like we were told. When he stopped Jose Aldo, when he stopped Eddie Alvarez, when he went 30 minutes with Floyd Mayweather, and now he's doing something different, right? It wouldn't matter about the drinking. It could be running, it could be on a bike, it could be who's holding your pads, it could be what gym you're training with, who's in your corner, who's your trusted circle. Like, if there's anything different now, when it's yet to work, right now it's a test. He has never been in this position. It is not a matter of can you beat Jose Aldo at 145. He'd already been to 45. He'd already beaten top contenders. This has not been tested before. Can you be out for a sustained period of time? Can you change weight classes and walk into a five-round atmosphere against a higher-ranked opponent? It's never been done before. And if the answer is yes, and we're going back to, and then you can start to pull things from a time that you had success. It's a very interesting story. It's a very interesting question. And Conor has always done a very good job of denying the rumors, denying the lifestyle, saying that it was only at times where he would let his hair down like everybody else, but that he would focus when it was time to focus. That was always very in line with Conor's brand until he sent out the tweet to Ryan Garcia. Now, like many of the greats performers, you don't know where the performance is. You don't know what they're trying to get their opponent to believe or why you want them to believe it. You don't know the difference between trying to sell cheap swill and sell a cage fight. Only the performer would know, but we're left with what we have as evidence. And it comes to my attention. And leading up to the fight, at a weight class yet to be established for a bout agreement yet to be turned in, on a date of June 29th, it is one of the many things I will be focused on. Summer is coming up, and that might mean that you're going to have a little more time on your hands. Why not use it to learn a new language? Rosetta Stone, the most trusted language learning program that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, is here to help you. Some of you may be traveling abroad this summer, and you might want to experience that country beyond just the touristy type spots. Your experience could be upgraded just by learning the native language. Now you can download the Rosetta Stone app to your phone or tablet and learn on the go while driving, riding on the subway, running on a treadmill, or even laying poolside with just a 10-minute lesson per day. Rosetta Stone's lessons are designed for long-term retention of language skills rather than short-term memorization. The focus of the program is preparing you for real, authentic conversations, not just knowing a couple of translations. It's like having your own personal trainer for language learning. Rosetta Stone has been used by millions of people for over 3 decades. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, my listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off. Unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. That's a steal. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Guys, I'm really into things that add more convenience to my life. It's even better when it also comes with safety in a high-quality package. I'm talking about my Eufy Video Lock. I'm still loving this thing. I love this thing so much that I'd like to invest in the company. I am so impressed with this product that I'm willing to back it. And if anyone out there knows how I can do it, please reach out. You gotta check it out for yourself. I'll probably do a quick social post, but for now, just search Eufy Video Lock. Do it online. It's a 3-in-1 smart lock, 2K camera with an audio and doorbell. It's easy to install. It has fingerprint recognition, so I don't even have to remember a code. I can control it all in an app, which again, the convenience is such a big plus for me. We are always on the go, and being able to monitor our home on the road is such a nice option. Not only that, I don't have to rush to the door if the doorbell rings. I can either open the door or ignore whoever's at the door by vetting them through the app. There is no monthly fees for security video storage. The battery is rechargeable, and each charge lasts about 4 months. This Eufy lock is fantastic, and I highly recommend it. Search Eufy Video Lock online. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for the best in Western style. And by the way, you don't have to be into the Western look to grab a good-looking pair of boots. I recently got a pair of ostrich skin round-tip boots, and I wore them with my suit. These boots are so versatile that I can throw them on with a full head-to-toe suit. And Anthony Smith came right up to me, and he's asking me where I got them. Well, I told him the only place to get them, Tecovas. And they have a seasonal limited edition offering. It's right now, this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, accessory, and more. My wife just surprised me with the ostrich wallet and a belt for my birthday, in case you've seen me. I feel like I look pretty sharp in it. I truly do. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop for new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today. Ilya Topuria has told Max Holloway, if you're expecting me to put up the belt, if they're declaring you number one contender, that if that is how this works, that somebody else can declare it. And I have got to accept it, and I have to put up my belt. Now, see, that's an interesting point by Topuria. Before you yawn and stretch, you need to understand, it's an interesting point that Topuria, to fight him, has to put up his belt. Why is that interesting? Well, why can't he fight him 147 pounds? Why can't he? Oh, Ryan Garcia did it days ago. It's the hottest topic out there. It's great for business. Did it affect anything? Card subject to change in California means something very different than it does in other states. The posting at each door, what it means when your main event now changes, title fight to non-title fight, what it means in California is drastically different than what it means in any other state that I know of. Now, there's 50 jurisdictions. I don't have track of all the rules. What I'm sharing with you is we now have evidence that a non-title match between the right two guys does not produce a negative or a different night of business? We at least can make that argument, can't we? So why can Topuria not fight him at 147, do the fight, do everything you would like, he just doesn't put up the belt? Why can't he? It's what he is saying. He said, and the answer, by the way, the answer is very important, because you have the belt, that's not how we do things. If our champion fights, it's for the belt. But not every time. Daniel Cormier and Anderson Silva fought, it wasn't for the belt. You guys remember that? They even made the right weight class. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember why the belt was not up? They made the right weight. Why was the belt not up? Do you remember? A trivia question. Leave me an answer below. UFC 200. You can even look it up and try to cheat. Now let me ask you this. Max has a belt and a title. So all Topuria is saying is, I will put my belt up and I will fight you. Otherwise, I will only fight you. Unless, of course, you put your belt up. And if the reason I must put my belt up is because I'm the champion. Okay, fair enough. Then your belt must also be up because you are the champion. Is there a different argument? And Topuria's looking around the room. If there's anything here I'm missing, says Topuria, go ahead and throw it at me. We're going to see, though, if it applies to you as well. It's a very intriguing argument. Only for conversation reasons. Don't think that I don't understand the silliness. Don't think that I don't even understand that Topuria is just trying to be silly. I get the whole thing. I just happen to like it because look at the spot that we're in. I mean, what a fascinating position. Okay, Max Holloway was the odd man out. He was the odd man out at 145 pounds. He couldn't get the title shot. He had more title shots than anybody still active within the division. Not just trying to get the title, even when he had the title, he was defending it. He signed and walked in that ring 4 titles, more times than anybody in that division. They didn't know what to do with him. In fact, for the first time ever, the way they built a contender is to have him stay away from Max Holloway. That contender is Ilya Topuria. When Max Holloway was announced for Justin Gaethje, neither Max nor Justin had asked for the fight, and neither did any of you. There was not a headline anywhere. There was no beef, no backstory for those two to fight. All of a sudden, Max starts to be in a position where not only is he not the odd man out, he's the hottest commodity in the room. Now, to keep that, he's going to have to win. But if he does, he absolutely has a golden ticket of number one contendership. The question becomes, does he stay at 155 and cash that in? Does he go back to 145, turn that golden ticket in? Oh, and by the way, he will be the BMF champion. He'll go from odd man out to a champion with a golden ticket to fight for a world title. That's exactly what happened. And the reason I tell you that way is because look at Ilya Topuria. Now we want to see that fight. Oh my goodness, Ilya and Max can't even imagine anything different. But Ilya, while stopping the pound for pound goat, normally that would be enough. Well, it was almost too much. Ilya didn't come out of anybody's mouth except O'Malley. And O'Malley would have done it. By the way, he just saw the writing on the wall. He knew that Merab was promised. He knew we weren't going in that direction yet. He just wanted to plant the seed. But from the time that O'Malley said it at UFC 299 in Miami until Max beat Justin Gaethje, nobody lined up to fight Topuria. As a matter of fact, we had what could have been the number one contenders match, which was Ortega versus Rodriguez. And the winner of that, all they had to do was declare themselves number one contender. And it wasn't the Sandhagen moment. It was not a drop the ball moment. It was a very clear, I'm not going to call him out moment. What a fascinating time we're in. Think about it in that perspective. What a fascinating time we are in. And what a difference a day makes. And by the way, I would see no reason that Max would not have to put up the belt. Now, there's something to be said for precedence, and the precedence of BMF does not favor me. It doesn't favor me. What I want is whenever the BMF champion fights, the BMF belt is up. I don't understand why it would be treated as any other title, and I'm open to it if you tell me it's going to be treated as a different title. If you tell me the discussions and or the arguments that are going to take place, I will happily adhere and follow, but I haven't been told that. By example, every BMF fight is scheduled for 5 rounds. like a championship match. The BMF fight is called a title match, the title being BMF. The title is being represented in the form of a belt. I'm not seeing the distinction. But I will admit, when George Masvidal, who without question was the BMF champion, and he was in this exact scenario, he went against Kamaru Usman, and his belt being George's was not up for grabs. And when George took that belt and that championship and he walked in into a main event scheduled for 5 rounds, just like a title fight, opposite Colby Covington, that belt was not up for grabs. So, we have a precedence. I do get it. George never was able to figure out why they didn't defend the belt. I don't know that that's a mistake that Max is going to make. I don't know that Max's manager and team are, but maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. But, what an interesting topic. Oh, and by the way, I don't know that I want it to happen. I like the idea of Max staying where he is. Max versus Justin, I will tell you one interesting thing. We have never had a fight. Feel free to correct me right in the comment section below. We have never had a fight to this magnitude that we have celebrated to this degree. The only fight that we have ever celebrated to this degree is Griffin versus Bonner. By the way, I mean, that is what rare air this Max and Gaethje in that final 10, as good as that fight was, it was very dominant. It was one side. It was that final 10 seconds. It was Max taking the ultimate risk and calling for it. You and me, toe to toe, right here we go. But it changed everything. Changed history, changed the way the fight will be talked about. But it is the only fight of that magnitude to be celebrated to this degree where a rematch has not even been discussed. A rematch between Justin and Max has not even been discussed. And I don't hate the idea of Max staying up and inserting himself in the Conor Chandler business. I will take on the winner. I know Conor would like that. I know Chandler would like that. Question is, can Conor make 55? And does he think he's going to get better? I mean, there's a lot of things that are interesting there. And even though Ortega did not pull a Sandhagen, but did not declare himself number one contender, I have spoke to Brian Ortega. He will take the Tapora fight. That was a respectful move that he was attempting to do. He will take the Tapora fight. As much as you guys want to see Max versus Tapora, and you go, oh, that's the only fight for him. Well, in some regards. But you're still playing checkers. What do you want to do with Volk? Do you want to just push Volk out? Volk's out of the conversation. We'll pull Volk in against Max for the billionth time. It's one of these spots where it's not quite as clear as you think. And Tapora, while just having a little bit of fun, Tapora is no more serious about Max having to put up the belt than O'Malley was about I'm coming to Spain, we're going to do a bowl ring, and I'm going to fight you for champ status after my first title defense. Like everybody knows that's just not the way that this is going to be done. But that doesn't mean that their arguments are losing arguments. And there is very good, I'm not going to tell you what it is, there is extremely good reason why Max will want that belt up for grabs, his belt. Max will want to put that belt up, whoever he fights next. There's very good reason. Masvidal could never figure out what that reason was. Now the question is, can Max? Because I'll tell Tapora right now, if it's up to Max, he'll put up the belt. I'm looking for you, young man. I am trying to find you. I thought I was going to have a call with you. John was going to set it up for Sunday. And David Taylor, I'll give you a little bit of time. You're going to be hearing from me as well. David Taylor is ranked the number one wrestler on earth. Not in the country. Could you imagine being the best in the country? Could you even imagine being the best in your state? I never was. I wanted to be my whole life. I ended up second. Now, once you take over your state, you know what country means? All that land that Joe Biden's in charge of, you're in charge of that same land when it comes to the sport of wrestling. All of America. I talked about being a state champion. If you were the national champion, what that signifies is that your parents could move and live in any state in America and you will be the champion. That is what it means. Your parents could move and you could go to any high school in the United States and you will be the starting athlete. Any high school, doesn't matter where. That's what national champion means. David Taylor was not only ranked to be number one in the country, he was ranked number one in the world, which means he could move to any country in the world and be their champion. If it was Olympic year, no matter where he lived, if he had a passport and citizenship, he would be the Olympian. Could you imagine? Could you imagine that kind of success? And David Taylor, like so many others, stayed in the game until the right thing happened, which is he passed the torch. Very few Olympic champions stick around. And nobody questions them. And I'm talking about the greats. I'll throw Brandon Slay in there. The greats. Very few of them stick around. They did what they set out to do. But Taylor stuck around to either do what he's already set out to do one more time or until somebody could take it. And he happened to pass it to his teammate, to his training partner, to his fellow Nittany Lion. And the question becomes, what is David Taylor going to do now? Now, I want you to just hold that thought, okay? Bo Nickel left wrestling and came over to MMA because of David Taylor. Bo Nickel, who is not Mr. Compliment to anybody, and it's not out of being arrogant, it's out of he's trying to beat everybody. He's a very competitive guy. Will openly tell you, there was no point in staying in wrestling if David Taylor was there, so I had to go and do something different. Now, that's an interesting story. I think that's a fascinating story. There is also a backstory between Taylor and Nickel that if they choose to tell, and I share that story with you because if you're David Taylor and you're 31 years old and you have no MMA, but you got a heck of a resume, can you come over and can you get right into the Ultimate Fighting Championship? Because there's no time to waste for David Taylor. And generally the answer is no. Generally. But Kayla Harrison would have been welcomed. BJ Penn, as the first ever American to win a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu World Championship, was welcomed. Clarissa Shields was welcomed. It's happened before. And the only reason I touch on David Taylor and Bo Nickel and them having a little something, the only reason I touch on that, that's between those boys if they want to bring that up. The only reason I touch on that, that's the way Taylor's going to cut the line. That's the way for sure David Taylor cuts the line. I set up the conference call. We jump on. Here's the issue. And here's why. And I'm coming over, and I'm coming in the same weight class. Now, that is more likely than not a story they don't want out. And I bring Carter Sturocci into this. I couldn't be more impressed with this guy. This is my kind of guy. Carter Sturocci is the most entertaining wrestler that the NCAA has sanctioning over. He is the most entertaining wrestler, and I'm talking about entertaining, that Cale Sanderson has ever had to deal with, because he is very off-brand, and there's no chance. You want to know why Cale's finals hairs are gone? His final hairs are gone because of Carter Sturocci. But he gets it. Coach Sanderson loves him. He gets it. He understands the entertainment, but I'm just sharing with you, like, it is a different kind of mindset. And what is Sturocci going to do? He has massive dollar amounts being thrown at him right now. Right now, I'll give you one, $400,000. And all he's got to do is wrestle postseason next year for the Division I in an attempt to win a fifth title, in an attempt to win a tournament that he's already won four times. Or, if it's strictly a business move, he would have to ask himself, do I believe if I take the or, if I do something else, can I make more than $400,000? That's what he would have to ask himself, purely from a business standpoint. Now, from an intrinsic value and being part of history, staying right there in State College and doing it with the guys he did with, like, Carter Sturocci is in a very awesome position. But it comes with tremendous risk. There is a tremendous risk there. If you fail to do something that you've already succeeded in doing four other times. Now, if anybody likes risk, it's Sturocci. But as we do look forward and we look at Team USA, we look at what happened with the Olympic trials. I was so angry, red hot angry. I did my level best to find out who this person was. I got a video of him, but then when I saw that the internet had already found him and put, okay, that's enough. But there was a gentleman who was in the crowd that yelled and heckled Jordan Burroughs after Jordan lost to Jason Nolf. Jordan followed all of the rules. He shook hands and walked away. He was not a bad sport. He was not negative. He did not cheat. He did not try to do anything outside of the rules. And I couldn't believe that he was being booed. I couldn't believe that he was being heckled. And in that moment, we all believed that was our last time seeing Jordan Burroughs. Jordan did not make that official. He still has not made that official. And perhaps we've got it wrong. And perhaps he isn't done. But I'm sharing with you, in that moment, we all believed it was. And there was somebody that thought they should put salt in the wound. And I did not understand that. And I watched Aaron Brooks versus Zahid. It was one of the great matches. Brooks ran him down. Zahid is a great competitor, and Brooks is a better competitor. I can't tell you who the better wrestler is. These guys are both just exceptional. Exceptional. Zahid at this point got NCAA titles. He's also got a world medal. Brooks has more NCAA titles. Now he's earned a shot at an Olympic medal, but he doesn't have it yet. These guys are very special. With a number of seconds left, a referee ruled that Zahid had pulled Brooks' singlet, which cost Zahid a point. And Zahid had the option to throw the brick back and not take a look at review or leave the brick in and take a look at it. He threw the brick back. Now, it's not a matter of did he pull the singlet. It's a matter of do they have a camera that picked him up pulling the singlet, right? If he is to fight this in protest, they must have the correct angle. And that's been tested. Even if it was under a different jurisdiction, Suriano versus Fix overtime on the headgear. It's got to be the right angle. So you would leave the brick. You would see if they got the footage. But Zahid didn't do it. He knew if he threw that brick back, he was going to lose the match. But he also knew in his heart whether they have the footage or not. I pulled the singlet. You're not allowed to do it. He threw the brick back. Cost himself the match. Without Zahid making that decision, it is not a guarantee that Brooks even goes into the finals, beats Taylor, makes the team. And if we revisit this in 108 days, which is when the wrestling will be contested, if Brooks is an Olympic champion, he's going to have to tie all of that back to the moment that Zahid threw the brick back because he knew in his heart he had pulled the singlet. And there was a lot of things that came out of these trials. There was lots and lots of them. But for any infraction or injustice that Zahid has ever done, that if you're a true fan, you know about and you're clinging to, that slate is wiped clean. All right, everybody, I have had it with you, but I do appreciate you being here, and I assure you, I'll be ready to talk to you again very soon. In the meantime and between time, I give you permission to leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and to also submit a 5-star rating on Spotify. Until Friday, everybody, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Thank you. say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.